Would you join me in Matthew 21? Matthew 21 this evening for the preaching of God's Word. As you find your place in Matthew 21, we're looking at an account in this passage that is the record of an event that took place during Jesus' final week on this earth. So this event takes place between the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and his crucifixion. It's a fascinating event through which Jesus took opportunity to teach his disciples about fruitful prayer. And so we're continuing this look at dangerous prayers in the Word of God. This particular passage in prayer is of a different vein than many of the prayers that we have examined. But Jesus here uses a prayer that he prays and the response of his disciples to teach them about fruitful prayer. So look with me, beginning in Matthew 21, verse 18, and we'll read on through verse 22. The Bible says, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only. And said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." What an interesting account from the life of Jesus. There's a lot of thoughtful commentary discussing the Creator, Jesus, and His creation, the fig tree, and the interaction between the two from this passage. You can read a lot of interesting discussion about what this was all about in verses 18 and 19. Obviously, Jesus turned the situation to teach his disciples about prayer, but you'd find a lot of interesting thoughts related to just Jesus hungering and coming to the fig tree expecting to find fruit, not finding fruit, and then essentially cursing the fig tree, praying in imprecatory prayer, if you will, against the fig tree. Regardless of the possibilities that exist in this interaction, that's not really the purpose of the message. But what is clear from this text and the parallel passage in Mark's gospel is that Jesus used, catch this, a fruitless fig tree to teach his disciples something about a fruitful prayer life. And so let me ask you this evening, are you satisfied with the fruit of your prayer life? As you reflect on your own prayer life, the time you spend with the Lord in communication, in communion, As you reflect on the requests that you have and have not brought to the Lord, as you reflect on even these last months, as a church, we went through a time of prayer and fasting, and during midweek services, most of this year, we've been focusing on prayer, and we've been examining some dangerous prayers in the Word of God, prayers that move us from our comfort zone, prayers that draw us closer to Jesus Christ and are transformative. As we have focused on dangerous prayers, have you experienced growth in your prayer life? Are you satisfied with the fruit that you are experiencing? The Creator went to His creation. Jesus went to a fig tree that had leaves. It had signs of life. It had the evidence walking up to it that it would have fruit. But when the Creator came to His creation that was showing signs of life, He found it fruitless. And He turned to His disciples, who marveled that Jesus would curse this tree and immediately it would wither so it would never bear fruit again. It now no longer gave signs of life, evidence of life. Jesus turned to His disciples and called their attention to a fruitless fig tree to speak to them about a fruitful prayer life. Are you satisfied with the fruit of your prayer life? This prayer of Jesus is a dangerous prayer for that very reason, the effectiveness of it, the fruit of it. It challenges and convicts the lack of effectiveness that we often experience in our prayer lives. This dangerous prayer causes us each to examine our prayer lives in light of the biblical truth to determine the cause for ineffective, powerless prayers. If in your life and in my life we can look back over weeks and months and even years as children of God, believers in Jesus Christ, and we struggle to find concrete answers to prayer in our lives. We struggle to find the evidence and the fruit of prayer and answers to prayer that moved us out of our comfort zone, that transformed us, that drew us closer to Jesus Christ. How can we be satisfied with ineffective, powerless prayer lives when Jesus Christ, in this and many other passages, declared to us that a power-filled, effective, fruitful prayer life can be ours? There appear to be a number of qualifications for effective, powerful prayers in the Bible. These qualifications come in the form of hindrances and helps. So as you're reading various passages of Scripture, you will find qualifications that are hindrances to effective, powerful prayer lives. The Word of God will speak to us about how if this is your purpose, if this is the way you're approaching prayer, if this is the way you're practicing prayer, these characteristics will actually hinder you from having an effective and powerful prayer life. There are still other places in the Word of God that as you read and examine and study them, you'll find that the Word of God gives us helps. Here are characteristics that you can reflect upon and apply to your prayer life to make sure that your prayer life is as powerful, effective, and fruitful as it possibly can be. So hindrances identify those characteristics that minimize effectiveness, while helps identify those characteristics that maximize effectiveness. So we're going to do something a little different this evening. We're not going to stay in Matthew 21 and exposit this text in a deeper sort of a way. We're going to go to several texts of the Word of God and focus on reading and just gleaning for ourselves characteristics that are listed in God's Word as hindrances or helps to an effective, powerful prayer life. The desire this evening is to maximize the effectiveness, the fruitfulness of our prayer lives. The Lord Jesus doesn't want us to be that fig tree. He doesn't want us to have leaves, to have signs and evidences of life, but lacking fruit. The Lord Jesus desires that our lives be fruitful, and that includes our prayer, our praying. And so, if you would, as we go through these passages of Scripture, I'm not going to exposit them. I'm not going to give you points and subpoints per se. We'll make a few comments on these different passages, but my heart this evening is that you'll hear these passages, you'll reflect on them, and maybe even jot down some of the things that you see in God's Word, that God speaks to your heart about as hindrances or helps to an effective prayer life. So let's begin in Matthew chapter 6. Turn back, if you would, there to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read several passages of Scripture, just pausing here and there to make a few brief comments as each of us reflect on how God might speak to us about hindrances and helps to an effective prayer life. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, we'll read on through verse 15. Notice Jesus says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Did you see, even in this text, some hindrances as well as some helps to an effective prayer life? Jesus' primary teaching on prayer is the center of that passage, is that model prayer. But Jesus made some introductory comments, and he made some concluding comments surrounding that model prayer that have both hindrances and helps to an effective prayer life. It's not just about taking the words of the Lord's Prayer and sitting down every day and reciting these words. That's not the point. That wasn't what Jesus was trying to drive home. Instead, in his introductory comments, he deals with motivation. He deals with what it is we're trying to present. He deals with the hindrance to an effective prayer life being that of hypocrisy and using flowery prayers to impress others. Jesus said what makes prayer more effective is going into a private place and recognizing that you're coming before God and God alone. In his concluding comments, he focused on hindrances and helps again. Do you realize, based on what Jesus said in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, that relationships with others have bearing on your prayer life? When we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts against someone else who has done us wrong, that unforgiveness will hinder an effective prayer life. But as we forgive, as God forgave us, that helps the effectiveness of our prayer lives. Matthew chapter 7, look there with me, beginning in verse number 7, and read on through verse 12. Jesus again, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Look over at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, and we'll read through verse 14. Luke 18, verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray," read the rest of that verse with me, would you, "and not to faint, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward, he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." I put these two passages from Matthew 7 and Luke 18 together because they deal with similar themes, dealing with both hindrances and helps to an effective prayer life. These two passages both deal with the themes of perseverance and posture. Perseverance. Can I simply ask this evening, are you determined to pray until you get a hold of heaven? To pray until you get an answer from God? How often in your life, in my life, have we grown weary of praying for a specific need, a specific request that is important to us, that's concerning to our hearts? And we grow weary because we don't feel that we're being effective. We don't feel that we're getting a hold of heaven. We don't feel that we're getting an answer from God. And yet in both of these passages, Jesus dealt with perseverance in prayer. Asking, knocking, and seeking until a response is given. Being like that widow woman with the unjust judge who kept on, who was perseverant with that judge until she received an answer. And so God tells us that we are to be like that widow woman, to keep on knocking and seeking and asking, to keep approaching the throne, to keep coming boldly before the Lord, asking Him for that need to be met, seeking for that grace that we need. Perseverance can be a great help to effective prayer. How about posture? Do you ever come to God with this type of attitude that God owes you? That you've earned something from God and He just has to respond to your request because you deserve it? The scripture there in Luke 18, as Jesus went on and gave that parable about the Pharisee who justified himself with God and then the publican. And yes, the Lord is dealing with this idea of our view of ourselves before the Lord, but don't miss the underlying current, the context of prayer. And Jesus speaking about the effectiveness of prayer, the one who went to his home justified because God responded to him. Which one did God respond to? The one who in humility approached God, understanding that God owed him nothing. That if he would receive anything from God, it would be according to the mercy of God, to God's grace. Look, if you will, at James 1. We're moving along. James 1. And notice, if you will, verses 5 through 8 of James 1. Here James pens these words: if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This ties directly back to what Jesus shared with his disciples back in Matthew 21, doesn't it? As the disciples marveled that Jesus would say to the fig tree that it should not bear fruit anymore, and it immediately withered away, and they marveled. They were amazed at this. What did Jesus tell them? This power can be yours. And not this power only, but greater power can be yours by what? Praying in faith. Approaching God in prayer with a heart of belief. A heart free of doubt. That you are approaching the almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present God. That you're approaching the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. That you're approaching the one who spoke the worlds into existence by the very word of His power. Or power of His word. You see, faith is not dependent on the one expressing the faith. It's dependent on the one in whom the faith is placed. Do you know? Do you recognize? Do you believe that when you come in prayer to God, you come to the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, that you come to the one by whom nothing is impossible, but all things are possible. You see, James tells us in promise that if we come to the Lord asking in faith, we will receive from the Lord's hand. But when we come to the Lord lacking faith, when we come to the Lord doubting, when we come to the Lord, if I can say it this way, with misplaced faith, He does not say you won't receive anything from God. But He tells us that we shouldn't expect to. Faith can be a great help to effective, fruitful prayer, while doubt is a hindrance to effective, fruitful prayer. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, he says this, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." How often do I not receive from the hand of God because I simply do not ask? Have there been times in your life that you've desired to receive something from God and failed to pray? Is there even now in your heart a desire for something from God? For God to do a particular work in your life? For God to grant you something? For God to grow you, mature you? For God to move in your life? To work in a relationship? To work in a need? To work even in a desire of your heart? And you simply failed to pray? Or perhaps you've prayed, but the motivation has been all wrong. That's what he deals with in verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. You see, the motivation of your prayer life can be either a help or a hindrance to prayer. Look, if you will, at James chapter 5. Verses 13 through 19. And notice what he says here. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. All of these verses that we read there from James chapter 5 are within that context of prayer. Within this passage alone, there are multiple characteristics that will be either hindrances or helps to an effective and fruitful prayer life. And these are just a sampling of the passages that we could look at in the Word that provide hindrances and helps to effective praying. Thinking back to our original text in Matthew 21, verses 18 through 22, Jesus specifically identified the relationship of faith and fruit. He came to a fruitless fig tree and he cursed it. And the disciples marveled at how quickly Jesus' curse was effective. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, essentially, reflecting on the fruitless fig tree, let me teach you about how to have a fruitful prayer life. I want a fruitful, not a fruitless prayer life. How about you? When I read this text from Matthew 21 this past week, God spoke to my heart, and here was the thought that He gave me. Why do I fail to receive big things from God? Do you feel that that's true in your life? At times, at least. Why do I fail to receive big things from God? The reason, listen to me carefully, the reason must be in me. If I am praying and fail to receive big things from God. If I am praying and I am not experiencing an effective, powerful prayer life, the reason must be in me, because the reason cannot be in God. I want to dream big things for God, to ask big things of God and receive big things from God, because I believe in a God who does big things. Do you? This is how God spoke to my heart as I read this passage from Matthew 21. As I read and meditated on some of these other passages in the Bible, other applications regarding hindrances and helps to effective praying challenge my heart. How about yours? Will we be satisfied with an ineffective, fruitless, powerless prayer life? Or will we dig into the Word of God, asking Him by His Spirit to show us what we may be doing that is hindering our prayer lives, and what we may be failing in, we're not doing, that we need to be doing to help an effective and fruitful prayer life? Is your praying fruitless or fruitful? If it is less fruitful than you desire it to be, what do you need to do? I challenge you to take these passages, find other passages in the Word of God, and meditate on the hindrances and helps to effective praying. Apply what God teaches you and pray more dangerously. The Lord Jesus showed us that a fruitful, powerful, effective prayer life can be ours. How will we respond to Him? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? No one looking around. Throughout this series on dangerous prayers, this particular message is of a different type than the others, and yet is challenging to our hearts about having dangerous prayer lives. I wonder tonight if God has challenged you about it. If He has, would you right now, in the quietness of your own heart, make a commitment to the Lord? Here's the commitment. Lord, You've challenged my heart about not having the fruitful prayer life that I desire to have. God, I'm committing to You to study Your Word, to allow You to speak to me by Your Holy Spirit about the hindrances to effective, fruitful praying in my life, and also to challenge me about the helps to effective, powerful praying in my life. I am committing to You that as You speak to my heart, I will apply what You teach me, that I might be able to pray more dangerously, more effectively, more fruitfully, for Your glory. Heavenly Father, I ask that You would help us to make these commitments. Lord, I ask that our prayer lives would not be weak, would not be safe, would not be ineffective and unfruitful, but that we would seek your face, that we would set aside the time to get alone with you and to hear from you about having a fruitful prayer life. Help us to take the Word of God, meditate upon it, and apply it to our lives as you lead us. And we'll be sure to praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.